But our first guest of the day, lovely young lady from Central Florida, Despina Barton, is going to join us right now. Sports reporter, play-by-play broadcaster for Spectrum Sports 360 and Spectrum News 13. Despina, welcome. I'm surrounded by UCF people on all sides of this building, by the way. But welcome. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having one more and inviting me in.
Well, we'll get to the UCF football team in a second. I want just a couple of generic questions I want to ask you about them. But let's start with the Orlando Magic, the Southeast Division champs from last year, which a lot of people think forget that they finished 42-40. Let me just ask you a general question right now. With all the free agency and all the incredible how the NBA has just, you know, stolen the spotlight away from the west of the sports world with all the craziness that's going on, what's your overall thought about everything that's happened?
Well, I mean, at first, Pete, I really thought that Jeff Weltman, the president of basketball operations, was just blowing smoke, you know, telling us what we wanted to hear about, wanting to keep Nikola Vucevic around, keep Terrence Ross. All the local media here were like, there's no way this happened. And what are they really working on? You know, so a lot of us were a little dumbfounded that this was really what was in the works. I mean, re-signing Nikola Vucevic and Terrence Ross was key and critical. And they had a reintroductory press conference yesterday, reiterating words like culture shift, continuity, familiarity. These are things that Jeff Weltman in the front office wanted to go with obviously re-signing these two guys. And I was pretty surprised. I'm happy about the moves, right? You got on your winning path after seven losing seasons. You got a playoff berth this last year. And honestly, this is what reinvigorated those guys to stick around, right? They're starting to believe in the system. Steve Clifford is around for another year. We're not going through the carousel of coaches for one summer, thank goodness. I like the moves. I like that Weltman is putting all his eggs in something he already knows, which, you know, at this point, he can do, because Vucevic is, you know, these two guys have definitely proven themselves.
I think it's a great point, especially about Vuce staying there. 4 years, $100 million. He probably could have, you know, the way some of these athletes are, he probably had his pick of, could have gone a lot of other places and decided to stay. Like you said, likes head coach Steve Clifford. I think something special is being built in Orlando. They still might be it, but they're a dangerous team right now. But Vuce is, why do I get the feeling he made the All-Star team last year? And can you imagine if the 76ers still had him? I wonder what they're thinking now since he left there. But this is an all-star. He's 7 feet. He's gigantic. He's a beast. He averages over 20 points a game and 12 boards and over a block shot a game. I mean, those guys are rare right now in the NBA, the true centers, and he's one of them.
Well, and I think, too, they asked him a couple years ago, and I think he saw the writing on the wall of developing an outside shot. So you're going to see Vuce step out deep into the wing and drill some pretty big shots. I mean, I know he's had some game winners inside the Amway Center from the three range. And so he's really worked to develop his game and continue, you know, his efforts, not only as that one-sided down low big guy in the paint, but he's stepping out. And I think the Magic are liking stretching him out, right? It forces matchups that are making other teams uncomfortable. And he's got the leadership quality. I came in about the same time Vuce did with covering the team. And just his maturity, this year, you know, 3 years ago, he got married. He had his first child back in December. Things are rocking and rolling with him personally and professionally. And I know he wanted to stay. What was strange was at the back end of the season, when you're trying to play, you know, all your cards or at least keep them to yourself with your management, you know, we were kind of worried of which route he would go because teams were coming after him. Ultimately, he owns a restaurant here in town. He, you know, him and his wife have set up shop here, and they've become a fabric of this community. Same thing with Terrence Ross when he talked about re-signing. Yeah, it was the playoffs, but he said taking his kid to school the other day, and the other parents are calling him the human torch. You know, everyone's re-engaged here in Orlando, which is something we've been missing for six solid years.
Yeah, and what is it about Steve Clifford, his role in all of this and the trust factor, and what have you seen out of him that makes him special?
Well, I think you have to go back to Frank Vogel, right? Mm-hmm. We went through four or five different coaches in just a short period of time here in Orlando. You went through the rebuild. Vooch was one of the only players that made it out on the other side. Mm-hmm. But with Frank Vogel, what players didn't like is he didn't hold anybody accountable. So when you have young millionaires in a room with conflicting, you know, personalities and, you know, how to, you know, young men, we'll just leave it there.
Yeah.
And then holding people in the locker room to different standards. It didn't work well. It didn't bode well. So something that the guys wanted were they wanted to be treated fairly. They wanted to be held accountable. They wanted someone that was going to ride them. And they did with Steve Clifford. He came in, and he's the guy that is a defensive-minded man. He had local ties here. He worked under Stan Van Gundy's staff. He knows how to win. And he was trusted, not within just the Magic community, the whole league. Mm-hmm. Steve Clifford was a get. And while he loses sleep, we know, he has never steered away from who he is, what he wants, and what he asks of these guys. And all that I've heard out of that locker room is respect. And once, you know, once that's gone, the team goes, you know, wayside. So Clifford commands the room, and there's good relationships right now in place.
Well, it's interesting you say about Frank Vogel. So I don't know how well you know him at all, but what an interesting situation. I may get the NBA package just to watch when Boogie Cousins and Rondo are on the floor with LeBron to see how he handles that. I mean, that's a heart attack waiting to happen any second. You know?
Well, so this is, I'm going to be really interested to watch. And I will stay up late night. My husband really enjoys Golden State games even before, you know, everyone came to play and all the, you know, world championships followed. But I don't know. Here, I believe that the front office wasn't 100% sold on Vogel, so they didn't let him pull all the reins.
Yeah.
Also, what I heard within here in the inner circles here is Vogel was slow to make adjustments on the court. So where some coaches thrive in those timeout situations and the halftime breaks, Vogel wasn't able to communicate and make those adjustments on the fly, which obviously hindered the game. So I'm thinking that he's probably in a better environment now. He stayed here in Central Florida for the majority of last year. His kids still stayed in school around here. And, I mean, he's walking into an amazing opportunity, but also a pretty horrifying one. You see what LeBron James does to coaches. Ty Lue came in for 1 year, and he aged like 50 years. So it's going to be a strange dynamic. I personally really enjoyed Frank Vogel and his time here in Orlando. Thought him and his family were wonderful people, but sometimes that just doesn't transcend to the court.
Absolutely. Well, like you see, you talk about in-game adjustment. You don't have to worry about that, Despina, because LeBron's going to do all that for him. We don't have to worry about that. And if he can't do it, he'll go ask Jason Kidd, who'll be the next head coach there. And, you know, who knows, maybe even after 25 games if things don't go great. Well, yeah, that's the problem I feel for Frank. I think he's going to be a lame duck coach in that situation. And the odds are already stacked against him, but who could turn down that contract? But again, we're speaking with Despina Barton, Pride of UCF, a sports reporter, play-by-play broadcaster for Spectrum Sports 360 and Spectrum News 13. Also today, they're going to Mo Bamba's not going to be able to play the rest of the summer league, going to hold him out, got some stress fracture, but not from his original injury, correct?
Yeah, so the reports are now they're going to hold him out for the rest of summer league action, which we didn't expect him to play a whole lot. We saw him in about 24 minutes in that first game. He had 15 points, 2 rebounds against San Antonio. He looked sluggish, right? He looked like a guy that hadn't played in 6 months because he hadn't. January 31st was the last time he played with that stress fracture. And the team is just taking precautionary measures here. They said that he has a little bit, you know, a pain. It's not in the same leg as a stress fracture, but they also don't want to push their limits here. So, I mean, this is kind of what we expected. He's going to be sore. I mean, if you and I didn't run up and down after 6 months, how can this other professional, you know, superstar do it and get banged around in that, you know, the game time, you know, up and down and just how physical games can get.
Despina, I'm 52 years old. I get hurt in my sleep. I mean, that's how bad it is. If I turn over the wrong way, I pull a calf muscle. But I hear you. Hey, I wanted to switch gears real quick to the Central Florida Knights, if I could, and Josh Heupel. And
you got to call him UCF, though.
I know. I'm going to call him UCF, but I'm not calling them national champions. I'm sorry. I want to get this part out of the way because I've been very critical, and I feel badly for the players, and I feel badly for Josh about this, that I still got to wonder, you know, Danny White turning down that series with the Florida Gators. I'm so angry by it because I just don't think, and I know their schedule's tougher than I know they're playing Stanford, and I understand it all. But for me, in my opinion, I don't think they should be, they're not in that position yet where they should say no to anybody from the SEC. From Florida to Arkansas for a 2-for-1, it's just a real personal pet peeve of mine. But how do you feel about the whole situation, how Danny White has handled that aspect, especially that situation, you know, with the Gators? And then you see USF go out down the street and play, going to play Miami and Alabama coming up the next couple of years.
So that's what stings. I think Danny White was expecting the support from the American Athletic Conference and the teams right in that arena to kind of follow suit. Like, if we want to be considered as a Power 5 program, if we want to be in the same playground as these big honchos, like, we all need to take a stand. Mm-hmm. Yeah, USF laughed in their face mm-hmm. with that commitment. Do I think in hindsight the deal should have been made? Absolutely. Do I think that Danny White probably regrets it? I do. Because
really?
We're not just talking about, this is a game 8 years down the line. Mm-hmm. You know, these guys program so far in advance, I would have taken anything that we possibly could get our hands on. I did hear that there should be coming down the pipeline here a couple of games with some Big Ten opponents. Those haven't been announced yet. You know, so mm-hmm. we're all still hanging around.
Yeah.
And I feel like we're missing our mark as far as momentum goes with that move to say no to University of Florida. And it could have been, you know, that big brother, little brother thing really wanted to shove it to us. But to eat mm-hmm. at the big, you know, big kids yep. table, like, you got to play by their rules.
Well, I'm glad you feel that way. I wasn't sure how we feel that way because we have other people in this building that went to UCF who don't feel that way, and I get in arguments with them about it all the time. You know who they are. Let me ask just real quick before we let you go. Thank you so much for taking a few minutes. Quarterback situation, we all know with Mackenzie Milton and that, and how bad that was. But you know, Brandon Wimbush and was it Dariel Mack as well? I guess Dariel Mack Jr. So. How are the Knights? We'll get you on again next month right before the season starts. I can't wait. I'm so excited. Yeah. All the Florida teams, there's so much drama and all of it. But what do you, just on the quarterback situation, your thoughts going forward here this season?
All right. Well, so I haven't seen the team play since spring. So we get little sprinkles of video here or there on social media. Mm-hmm. They're obviously tight-lipped. Josh Heupel has a very tight-knit group of coaches. I mean, this is the same guy that says, let's go win and go 1-0 again today, which is kind of boring from the media perspective. I have nothing to work with on my show every night. But as far as the quarterback race, he's not going to let anybody know what exactly is happening. So from the spring game, my biggest takeaways were, wow, Brandon Wimbush is, you know, he needs to freshen up a little bit. He was a little rusty, but he didn't know the playbook, so I gave him a pass. Daryl Mack Jr. looked like he didn't progress at all. He's just a guy that just facilitates the game. I don't think he's a playmaker yet. I think he can get there, but he's not there yet. A young guy you're going to want to learn his name is a true freshman, Dylan Gabriel. He came from the same high school mm-hmm. as Mackenzie Milton over in Hawaii. And the kids, you know, when kids start whispering around practice and, you know, you can just feel this energy, they're talking about Gabriel as a potential, like, their guy in the future. Mm-hmm. So he's got me the most excited. And this is just based off hearing what the kids are whispering about and getting as many nuggets as we can, you know, over at spring practice. He's a true freshman. And he's not got the size. Daryl Mack has the size right now. And mm-hmm. Honestly, my projection is Daryl Mack will be your starter in the beginning of the season. Wimbush could potentially come in, split reps as soon as he gets that playbook down. You know, he's just trusted. He's your veteran guy. Mm-hmm. You get in sticky situations, Wimbush is going to get you out. Look for Dylan Gabriel to make a splash. And then a local kid here in downtown Orlando, Quadri Jones, is a Jones High School grad. He threw that gunslinger last year on, you know, a surprise.
Yes.
You know, catch and play. So he's got a big arm too, but it's all murky water right now.
Well, Despina, thanks so much for coming on. Really appreciate it. And I know you've got, you do like, what, 4 shows a day or something. You're all over the place. So it's great to have you on. Definitely going to have you on again next month, right before college football starts, probably before Florida, Miami, and you'll have a better sense then of what's going on at UCF. And we'll break down, you can break it down for us. But just thanks so much, Despina. Really appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon. All the best.
All right. Thanks, Pete. Anytime.
Okay. Thank you. That's Despina Barton, UCF, proud of UCF, but sports reporter out in Orlando, play-by-play broadcaster as well for Spectrum Sports 360 and Spectrum News 13.